It's Tuesday, May 29th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey everyone, got a great show for you today. Strap in, here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as I can be from historic Ford Island in sunny Honolulu, Hawaii. How's everyone? Well, I tell you what a long, long weekend. And to be honest with you, I'm looking back over the last 4 days and I'm thinking to myself, what did I accomplish? And in all honesty, I didn't get a lot accomplished. I got some homework done, I guess it is important to spend time with family. So I spent a lot of time with my family and kicked back and had a lot of thinking to do on some things we've got going on here. And it was just kind of a weird, weird four-day weekend for me. And, here I am getting ready to do the show. It's daylight out. It's actually a little bit after 6 p.m. here in Honolulu. And very, very unusual to be recording the show at this time. But this afternoon I had some homework to finish up. And my wife said, well, I'm going to go ahead and take the kids out to the swimming pool, let you finish your homework. And turns out my homework didn't take me very long. And I got that all wrapped up and said, well, why don't I get the show ready? And here I am. They just got back a little while ago and they're all getting their showers. And it's been odd. But I got a great show lined up for you tonight. I was kind of worried about being able to find some content out there. But I found plenty, so we got a lot to talk about tonight as well. One thing I did accomplish this weekend is where did we go? We went to I took the kids to see Pirates of the Caribbean, and pretty good sequel, I guess, for those of you that haven't went. I won't put any spoilers in for you, but the kids enjoyed it. And then after that, I said, hey, honey, let's stop by the Apple store on the way home and let's see if they've got Final Cut Studio 2. So, she kind of rolled her eyes, but we stopped at the Apple store, and lo and behold, they had it in the back. And because I was running Final Cut Express before, there was no upgrade path. So she had a little bit of sticker shock when she seen the the price of when I signed the credit card receipt. Of course, I'm getting that discerning look as we're walking out of the store. And she goes, I knew we had talked about that, but I didn't realize it was that much. So I have it. It's installed on my MacBook Pro. 40 gigs. 40 gigs was the install. I'm thinking I'm all fat, dumb, and happy. I've got 80 gigs left on my MacBook Pro's hard drive. And lo and behold, I get this install done. And I got 38 gigs left, which is no big deal. But wow, what a monster. What a monster install. And it took forever. I think it took like 2.5 hours to do the install. It was just disk after disk after disk after disk. But I did do one import. I did a video import of something that I've been playing around with, getting some stuff ready over at blueberry.com. And it definitely has a different workflow. So I've got to go through the little training syllabus or the CD or DVD that they provided to get myself up to speed. But wow, what a monster. It really, really is. That's not all. I was also working on some finance stuff, and actually had Javon, our financial officer, send over some files to me. I wanted to do some reviewing, and he's been sending reports and stuff to me manually, but I haven't ever went through and fully loaded the books up and had the duplicate set of books here. And he sent that over, and I went to import it on the QuickBooks install I have. And I said, hey, it's not importing. What version do you have? He said, oh, I'm running 2007. I was like, I could have cried because I had to upgrade to QuickBooks 2007 Pro. Ouch. And they don't offer an upgrade path anymore. They stopped doing that with the QuickBooks 2006 release. So you know, that was another big hammer. And I was like, oh my goodness, this has been like Software Central all weekend. And, well, what are you going to do? You got to do what you got to do, right? And, you know, be honest with you, this continuous upgrade cycle of some of these software applications, you know, I, for years, was running on Quicken for my personal stuff, that it was a very, very old version. I never upgraded it. It worked fine. I'm sure many of you do the same. So I'm going to have to tell Javon, don't upgrade automatically every year. It's not needed for the additional features that they offer. Definitely was a sticker shock on that. What else have I got going on? Oh, I did get whatsapodcast.com launched, and I've got two blog posts up there. So whatsapodcast.com is going to be kind of my site where I'm going to be taking people step by step into teaching them what a podcast is, putting some resources up to, you know, allow them to be able to create their own. So, you know, essentially it's going to kind of be a informational port that I'm going to maintain. I'm always looking for article submissions with that. So if you have anything you'd like to submit, feel free to send that over to me. Send it here, of course, at geeknews@gmail.com. But I'll be playing around with that here over the next couple of weeks. I like the theme that I was able to use for it. It does have one little bug yet I got to get worked out, but that will be dealt with here in the next few days. Want to remind podcasters that are listening to the show, you know, and I kind of got slapped side the head kind of by, not necessarily slapped, but one of the podcasters that listen to the show, Sam, one of the Ohana, has a show, and he sent me his podcast promo. I'll be playing that at the end of the show tonight. But if you have a promo for your podcast and you're part of the Ohana here, make sure you send me over your promo. Be glad to play it from time to time. That'll break up a little bit some of the stuff we have coming in from voicemails and other type of content. So I'll be more than happy to do that. Did want to update you on my weight loss progress. I stepped on the scales this morning. Of course, you're always lighter in the morning for some reason. It's just normal, I guess. And I was very, very happy to see that I had hit 188. So I'm real happy with the progress there. I guess my continued eating good and exercise is working out well. I mean, I'm dropping weight like crazy. And my wife said, I wish I could drop weight as fast as you did. And so I'm really looking at making sure that I'm, you know, I haven't went to the extreme, making sure I'm doing everything balanced. And but it's been kind of amazing, really. My goal was to get to 177 in like 3 months, and gosh, I don't know. We'll see. It just can't continue to go at the rate it has been. But who knows? You know, I guess the question then is keeping it off once it's off. Oh, anyway. All right, what else have I got here for you tonight? I guess I've got everything. You know, I don't know what it is. I just sit here and the office is still a wreck, so I did not get the office cleaned up. And I did kind of get the look from her this afternoon. She says, what are you going to do about that mess? It's kind of like a path in and a path out. I've got, you know, mic stands. I've got my video camera up on a tripod. I've got, you know, stuff. Old school books stacked in one corner and product review stuff stacked in another. Yeah, it needs a going through. But we're going to get rid of some of this stuff here shortly. I'm going to start giving some of it away. So definitely stay tuned to the show, because we're going to start having some promotions, and you guys will have a chance to win some of this cool stuff, some of this swag that have, well, actually product reviews that have been sent to me. Products for review that have been sent to me. I'll get some of that out and let you guys get a taste of some of this gear and then play around with it yourself. I've been talking with the crew over at, I listened to the 524 edition of Adam Curry's Daily Source Code, and I listened to the interview that he did with John C. Dvorak, who is going to be starting up over at Podshow. He's going to be managing or doing a couple of shows over there in a tech channel, I guess. And he's going to be looking for tech podcasting talent. And very interesting commentary by John. And they didn't give us any love over at techpodcast.com. I mean, I guess they were too small of a group, although I think they would be completely blown away if they see what our actual numbers were over there. But that's my information for me to know and for them to find out. But I definitely want to encourage all of you, if you are listening to this show, to make sure you get over to techpodcast.com. Check out all the great content over there. We've added a couple of new shows. I sent welcome letters to a couple of shows the past couple of days. Actually have had some shows apply that we did not approve, too. And some shows that have not quite met the threshold that we're looking for. What we're trying to do over there, just so that you know, is that I'm looking for shows that are, number one, they've committed to doing shows on a regular basis so that they're podcasting on a regular schedule. Make sure that they are child safe. You know, all the education, all the shows over at Tech Podcast are non-adult in nature. Making sure that we have their websites are branded well so that they have a nice website and the RSS feeds available and all the little components. You guys hear my little one screaming? They just got out of the shower. make sure that everything is branded correctly and, you know, make sure that the content's consumable. So, and also just listening to the content too, doing a, you know, kind of a listen to the content and having a little bit more of a stricter editorial procedure in approving shows that are included in the community over there. So we hope that we've got a great lineup of content. I think there's around 66 or 67 active shows over there. And matter of fact, same rules apply over there. If they're not active, we remove them. They're taken off and made inactive until they start producing on a regular schedule again. But that being said, we're going to be introducing some new shows on our roundtable this coming Saturday. So we'll have the announcement going out and be up on the blog at Tech Podcast tonight. We're getting started at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. And we'll have a roundtable discussion about stuff going on in tech, introduction of some new shows over there, along with a couple of dedicated subjects. I think this roundtable is going to be just a little bit different, so I encourage you all to come out and join us. If you don't, of course, you'll be able to pick it up later. The last roundtable that we had, there was new, I think the last check I made last week, that roundtable had been downloaded about 37,000 times. So we had some huge, huge impression numbers on the last show. Generally, 20 to 25,000 people is what the normal numbers are, but had a great uptake on the show the last go-around. So, and I think it's part of it to do is with the traffic over the website's way up, way we're positioning the stuff over there as well. So, but that's going to be, of course, hosted by our sponsor, GoToMeeting. And these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business, associates, family, and friends. The ability to host online meetings is an absolute must in today's business. With GoToMeeting.com, it's just like you're all in the same room. Unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. What else have I got in my stack here for you? A couple of quick things I wanted to cover that I didn't have necessarily loaded in my blogger. But it appears that the Justice Department and actually the Federal Trade Commission is going to be opening a preliminary antitrust investigation into Google's planned $3.1 billion purchase of the online advertising company DoubleClick. So this is kind of curious that this is happening. Now, of course, with that big of a purchase, I'm not so surprised that that is happening. Google says that it should pass scrutiny, of course, so we will see what happens there. But this rolls right into another Google article that I wanted to talk about. And this is something I kind of was surprised to see. It says, in the title of the article, it says, Doing Evil to the Internet, Google and Yahoo promote domain squatting. And what this boils down to is that, you know, both these services have a, both Google AdSense and Yahoo has a program where people that have domain names that are not going to any specific website, they're just, you know, being kind of like, well, they're, you know, squatting pages. They've got a system where they can put Google AdSense ads on those pages. And, you know, this is in relation to an article that is about this guy that owns hundreds of thousands of domains, where he's making significant amounts of money, $70 million a year in revenue, mostly on ads generated from these domains that have been squatted on. Now, if you think about that for a second, that's advertising dollars that are being spent on, you know, is that really viable advertising? You know, if you have a squatted domain, we've all ran into those where you've run into a domain name where it just loads up and it's nothing but ads. And I personally have never clicked on an ad in one of those sites, but enough people do that it generates, I guess this guy, according to this article, and I don't know if it's all in advertising, but $70 million a year. So is this, you know, think about that for a second. Is that diverting money that could be spent on sites with viable content? You know, should this practice be banned? I really think it should, in all honesty. I think that, you know, if you're going to have domains, and I've got 210 at last count is my number, they should all be pointed at different domains. And you know, and I point, you know, like, okay, for example, blueberry.com, blueberry.net, blueberry.edu, blueberry.biz, you know, all the variations are pointed at blueberry.com. So even while I may own only a certain number of single domains, I vial the varieties of the domain to make sure I lock it up and point it towards the one website. Now, a lot of people don't do that. They may buy photography.com and then point 100,000 other domains that are closed towards photography.com. So, you guys hear that? We got some kids playing in it with something in the background. That's the difference of doing the show late at night when the kids are sleeping and when they're not. But anyway, what do you think about this domain squatting stuff? Interesting, along with the ad stuff. Now, speaking of domain names, of course, I definitely want to talk a little bit about the Indy 500. It got rained out after 166 laps. And, you know, that's, you know, happens every once in a while where the Indy 500 gets rained out, you know, their biggest event of the year. But I don't know exactly where the GoDaddy driver, I don't know where she placed in the standings or not. But we hope that if you watched any of the show and if you decided to get any products from GoDaddy this weekend, that you definitely use some of our promo codes. So, you know, you can get reliable, secure web hosting without long-term contracts. GoDaddy hosting plans are some of the biggest and best ever, with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. Best of all, plans start at $3.99 a month. Plus, you can enter the code TODD when you check out. That's Todd. And save an additional 10% on your order. Of course, you can use Geek5 is to save 15% off your orders at $20 or more. ComSale will help you on .coms, Geek, Aloha, Central. A lot of great domain names there. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Again, T-O-D-D is the code you should use. Pod58 for hosting accounts. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. If any of you were in Japan, sorry, a big problem over the weekend. Computer glitches delayed hundreds of flights, and lots were canceled because something happened. Wires got crossed, and most of the downstream connection terminals and airports were offline. So there was a big, big mess in Japan, and it just goes to prove that you know, we would really be lost if we couldn't run our PCs. We really, really would. A report on the New York Times is saying that a plunge in CD sales is really starting to shake up most of the labels. They're seeing significant drop-offs in the number of CDs being purchased. A lot of frustration by the industry. And, you know, it's their own doggone fault. It really, really is. They waited so long to get on the digital bandwagon. Things are completely out of control. And they've missed the boat on this. And so music executives are going to be scratching their heads. And I'm sure what we're going to see here is that we're going to see more digital right management stuff being dropped. That's the prediction in this article. While at the same time, Of course, they want to say that 37. They're saying that 37% of all music consumption is happening on file sharing networks. So while I don't know what that number really is, that's the number that the folks within the recording industry claim. But they are starting to get worried. And how many? When was the last time you bought a CD in a store or online? Have you bought CDs online, or did you actually go into a store and actually buy a CD? Next article up is actually from Ike Kringley over at PBS.org, and he's got it entitled "The Final Days of Google." Seems like when everyone's against Google, they're against them. Lots of negative articles over the last couple of days, and what this is in relation to is that because Google is allowing their employees to have that 20% time where they're able to spend 20% of their work hours thinking about new ideas and working on sideline projects, many of those little farming projects never get approved. So what you have now is you've got this entire company that is, you know, these 20%ers are working real, real hard on coming up with new ideas. And those are not being, you know, many of those are just being flushed and not allowed to come to fruition. But at the same time, many of those employee stock options are starting to mature. And he believes that Google is going to have a very, very big problem where many of their employees who are, you know, some of the very brightest in the industry are going to be saying, well, they wouldn't let me do it on my own. So let me just blast out of here with a group of guys in the office and do this as a startup. So we'll see what happens here. And a pretty good article, and we'll see over time if it actually pans out and happens. All right, there's a couple articles on Firefox tonight, and one of them is from Ace Adulzer's website, and as a word of caution from him. Apparently, there's a lot of blog posts out there telling people how they can dramatically improve Firefox performance by making certain tweaks in the about colon config file. And he's saying be very, very careful about that because there's, you know, they have very, very good reasons for some of the default settings that they have. And by making changes, they could, while you boost performance one way, you're going to hurt yourself another. So he goes into the explanation on this. And he has a link to the post that actually talks about the what's called the pipelining trick within Firefox. So if you've applied this pipelining trick hack to Firefox, please read Ace's post, and it'll give you some feedback on why maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Along with this, it's now reported that Firefox's adoption rate has grown to 25%, which is pretty amazing. I have the actual article further on here in my program set up tonight. But there was one thing that I noticed in that, just in the quick overview I did of the article, is that nearly 49% of the people are still using IE6, and the adoption rate of IE7 has been really slow, in that 14 or 15% of the people are using IE7, and then 25% on Firefox, and then all the other browsers make up the rest. So I thought that was pretty interesting that a lot of people, you know, the security bug-ridden IE6 is still very, very predominant. Now, I think what's probably driving that is that many in corporate America have not upgraded to IE7 yet. They're still on IE6. Okay, next article. I've been familiar with this application for a while, and I got reintroduced to it this weekend. It's called Songbird. And some people, they're actually using it as a podcatcher of sorts, in that if you go to songbirdnest.com and download Songbird, you load it, it's a browser of sorts with links into it to different music sites and directories. Not a lot of just traditional podcasting sites yet, but if you, for example, if you load Songbird, you go over to Geek News Central, or you go to blueberry.com. As you're surfing around the website, as you go to pages that have RSS links on them, it auto loads the media in the bottom of the actual application so that you can start listening to the media right on the web page that is linked there. So pretty cool. I do like it, and I have been using it already. There is a Mac version of this as well, so you're able to either download if you're a PC or a Mac user. All right, I'm going to change gears a little bit here and talk about the compact fluorescent light bulbs. And the reason I want to talk about this is that while there's a big push for people to start using those light bulbs in your homes, we've started to see a lot of public announcements and different types of advertisements on TV that's pushing these. And actually some countries, Australia being one of them, they're going to be phasing out the sale of the inefficient, incandescent light bulbs by 2010, and additional countries are starting to do the same. I want you all to be very, very aware that these compact fluorescents, while they are very energy efficient, they also have a level of, there's some danger to some of them in that they have mercury in them. And people that have broken these light bulbs before in bedrooms have actually had to hire companies come in to clean up after the actual the breaking of one of these bulbs. So be very, very careful where you're using these light bulbs at. While I'm 100% for having efficient light bulbs in the home and within these compact fluorescents, I would advise probably at this time against putting them in areas where, you know, kids maybe have pillow fights or, you know, someplace where a bulb could get broken. And if it does, we use some extreme caution in cleaning up the bulbs and you being exposed to mercury. So it's one of those deals where they are very efficient. They last a long time. I think what we're going to end up seeing, though, those are probably going to have some sort of a turn-in process for these things as well. So we'll see what happens with CFLs over the next 10 to 15 years. But be aware of the mercury content in them as well. All right, the next article up is something I found that's kind of cool, and it's called, let's see if I can, it's K-A-K-O, phone.com. It's a Kakaroma, a ride into the past, and while it's kind of a weird domain name, and I'll have a link up to the website in the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. It's a website where you can enter the date that you were born. You can put in here, so I'm going to put in June, the date I was born, and the year. Let me put in the year here. And then you click on here, essentially, and it gives you some choices here, and click to see what happens on Earth. It actually takes you back and shows you what happened on the date of your birth. And it covers what happened in the news, what happened in history that day, who else you share a birthday with, the price of eggs, some other kind of cool stuff, what was on the cover of Time. So this is kind of a cool little site here that you can play around with to get information on what happened on the day you were born. So I'll have this linked up in the show notes. Pretty good article over at last100.com, and it's entitled, Will ISPs Spoil the Online Video Party? And what this is in reference to is that since the introduction of services like Juice or people using peer-to-peer to download videos, and a lot of these videos are becoming very significant in size, is that as it becomes more mainstream, the bandwidth that most of the internet service providers have cannot handle or is not going to be able to handle the high influx of video being sucked down by all of us that are hardcore media consumers, especially online media consumers. And they're saying now that ISPs are starting to make changes to the terms of service. They're starting to enact ways where there's going to be bandwidth limitations that people are going to be able to use. Actually, in the UK, some of this is starting to happen on a much bigger basis because essentially these ISPs don't have enough bandwidth to handle all of the content that's being pulled through. So I'm going to let you take a look at this, and this is definitely of concern, and you need to be aware if your ISP is one of those ISPs that, you know, it caps you. You get to a certain point and they start limiting the amount of media that you can pull or push through your system. And I think what we're going to see here is a big outcry by people There's going to be a huge demand for more bandwidth as we move on here. And they're facing this issue on the HD TV side as well, too, within the cable providers. So it should be interesting to see what happens here. But I guess the question that's going to be answered in the near future is, will the ISP spoil the online video party? It definitely could happen, for sure. Tonight, as well as the last few shows, I've been dropping a few links into the show notes that has some articles that I wanted to make you aware of, but I didn't necessarily want to talk about. The one that I want to link up tonight is on torrentfreak.com. It's entitled, I Didn't Download It, My Router Got Hacked, and it talks about some new lawsuits that are going in for people that have been downloading games online and being caught in the process of doing so. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. You can check that out. Every once in a while, an article will catch my attention that kind of reminds me of some things that have happened in the past. And the article that I'm referencing to tonight is it's entitled The Tale of Firefly in the Reverse Culture Shock. Essentially talks about an Aussie that lived in Japan for a year and how he adapted to the Japanese culture and some things that happened. And one thing that he shares in this article is what happened to him when he was first in Japan and how he'd walk into a store. It's very, very different. When you walk into a small shop in Japan, you're always welcomed by the owner or the workers in the store. They all, you know, they essentially stop what they're doing and they welcome you in Japanese, and they essentially say, welcome to our shop, is what they say in Japanese. And you get kind of used to it. And it took him a while to become used to having this happen when he walks into places of businesses. And generally, most Japanese are so numb to it, they just don't even, they ignore what the person is saying. And as a gaijin or a foreigner in Japan, typically I would kind of always kind of nod my head. But even I got, after a while, kind of got numb to it. And he talks about that experience. But then he talks about when he went back to Australia and he went into a store, you know, he had become so accustomed to hearing that. When he walked into a store and didn't hear it, he kind of stopped and looked at the shop owner for a few seconds. And the shop owner kind of looked up to him and said something with an expletive. And and he realized he was back in Australia. Where it relates to what it reminded me of was, you know, I had been in Japan for several months and been used to driving on the left-hand side of the road. And, you know, it was, after a while, you kind of get used to it. It's just like, you know, here in the United States, we drive on the right-hand side of the road, and, you know, it's second nature. You would never think about driving on the left-hand side. But when you get to Japan, there is a little bit of countries that have, where you do drive on the left, there is a little bit of an adoption time, and sometimes you'll make a turn, and you'll actually turn into the wrong lane. It just kind of happens. But after a while, you get used to it. Well, I'd been over in Japan for a couple of months, and was getting ready to come back home to Guam. And I was living in Guam at the time, and I got back to the airport. My car was parked there at the airport, and I got in my car, and it was dark out. It was maybe 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and I drove out of the parking lot and onto the road, and I had been on the road like 10 seconds, and I see this car coming, and its headlights are facing me, and I'm thinking to myself, who is this idiot? Who is this idiot driving on the wrong side of the road? And this car starts flashing its headlights at me, and I start flashing my headlights at him, and I'm thinking at the top of my, I'm really in my head. I'm kind of getting this like almost New Yorker attitude. It's like, who is this idiot? And I'm starting to actually kind of cuss the guy out a little bit, and it dawned on me that I was the person on the wrong side of the road. So while this culture shock article that this guy wrote about him coming home to Australia and getting a culture shock walking into a store, I got the culture shock of coming home and driving on the wrong side of the road. So it was, it's pretty funny for me anyway. At the time, I felt like a knucklehead, but I thought I would share that with you. What kind of culture differences has affected you as you've traveled, and did it affect you when you came home? Love to hear your comments on that at the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. You know, marketing is a wonderful thing, because as companies that are out there that are doing PR, they're doing everything they can to get their message out, right? And they work really, really hard at it. And many times, I get email, and this kind of relates to two articles that I've caught up tonight. But email comes in and comes in and comes in, and you kind of get numb to it, right? Company says, we're great at doing this, we're great at doing that, or do this, or do that, or, you know, and it kind of gets old, right? And it's kind of like a guy telling another woman that either he's a great kisser or, you know, whatever he may be trying to imply to another woman. And this is the experience this is what they're showing on this webpage. So here we've got marketing. And this gentleman talking to a lady saying, okay, I'm a great kisser. And then in the next slide, there's a public relations article, in which I don't necessarily agree 100% with this, where a gal is telling another gal, trust me, he's a great kisser. And then the third picture is the advertising again. The guy saying, I'm a great kisser, I'm a great kisser, I'm a great kisser, telling the gal. And then the fourth title of it is the gal that had been told by the PR firm that he was a great kisser, telling the guy, hey, I understand you're a great kisser. Now, this is PR firm's mentality in this. Now, I think what they got wrong here in this whole article, and this is over on adsoftheworld.com, is that marketing firms can tell me all day long something is great, but the second someone I trust, someone that I listen to, tells me something is great and says it with sincerity, that to me is true public relations and is what is a deal seller for me. Someone comes to your house and tells you, I had a great experience at store X, you're going to go to store X. Someone tells you, I had a bad experience at store X, you're not going to go there because you trust your friend, right? So I don't believe where they, you know, here's a PR firm that says this is why you need a PR firm. And I'm thinking to myself, no. You don't. The problem they need to, you know, what they need to do here is they need to replace that one slide with, you know, friend to friend or trusted relationships, not public relations. So I'll link this up in the show notes to you. If you guys have any comments on this, I'd love to hear them back for you. It's kind of comical in the way they place it and in how the analogies they use here. But I think they've missed the boat just a little bit. Looks like Netscape had a little problem over the weekend. Looks like someone was able to exploit something on the Netscape site. For anyone that went to Netscape.com, it got redirected over to Dig. So this lasted for a little while. And of course, it happened on a weekend when everyone was probably enjoying the Memorial Day weekend. So did any of you see that? Are any of you Netscape users? Or heck, did anybody even notice? And the only reason I found it, because it was linked up in an article that I found in my RSS feed. But you would think a big company like Netscape would never have that type of an issue. All right, a word of caution, and this has got to be a mistake here. It's over at newegg.com. If you're looking to buy a Casio EX-Z75SR Silver 7.2 digital camera, sure, they got them at a great price for $189, but they have 3 business day shipping for $99,999, and it's not available to be shipped in Hawaii, Alaska, and Puerto Rico. So for $99,999, you can get 3 business day shipping, okay? I think when someone filled out this shopping cart, they must have missed something here. kind of funny how you see this stuff once in a while. All right, what have I got next up for you? Let me dig through here. Oh, that was the thing on Firefox. I'll link that up later in the show notes. Oh, news out of from Microsoft is that Microsoft has announced that they have sold 1 million Zunes. And while that may not seem like a lot, considering that Apple has sold 100 million iPods, but you know what? 1 million Zunes is 1%. And if they continue to sell Zunes at that rate, that's going to definitely give them they're already saying here that it's reportedly giving them a 10% share in the hard disk-based player category, which is pretty good. So I guess people are picking up these Zunes, even though they haven't got some of the best reviews on them. So it's interesting they made it that quick. I didn't think they would have. All right. How many of you have grandparents that take a lot of medications, or maybe you do yourself and you forget from time to time? There is a new cap out by Vitality that actually lights up when you are supposed to take your prescription. It's actually set up when you get the prescription, you have it added, and it alerts you when you're actually supposed to take your medication. So very, very cool. I've done this. How many of you have forgotten to take a script? I'm sure everyone has. I'm sure everyone's forgotten from time to time. And I think this is a pretty good way to keep people on schedule, especially people that are on a tight regimen for medicine. The pricing details aren't available, how much it's going to cost, but I think these are going to go over real, real big. I really do think they will. Microsoft Watch is reporting that the 2007 Professional Developers Conference has been canceled. And I think what this may be in relation to is there could be, or probably there's going to be a delay of Windows 2008, which could have a pretty big impact. But Microsoft Watch is saying that PDC 2007 has been canceled. So a lot of comments on this as well. This conference has slid from time to time in the past, so this is maybe not so surprising. But generally, when it is a slip, when they do have a slip of the schedule, it's usually an indication that one of the products that's going to be released shortly is going to actually be pushed a little bit. All right, those of you that are on Vista, they had a big Windows update. So Microsoft pushed an update for Windows Vista, and I guess it's going to be good for those of you that have had some hardware issues with using the application. So nice to see that they're going to be doing a big push on a Windows Vista update. So keep your eyes peeled on that for those of you that are using Vista. And kind of quick question. Are you seeing many updates come through? Are you seeing improvements to the OS? Or are they just addressing mostly driver issues at this point and any type of security bugs? I'd love to hear back from anyone that's running a variety of Vista machines or maybe one of their own. All right, there's a great article over on Vicosys, and I've never heard of this website before. It's but 192.com is a map service that, from what I can see, just absolutely blows Google Maps out of the water. And very, very cool application, the way they've got it tied in. It's really nice. And I don't know where, I was not familiar with this site at all. But if you haven't checked out 192.com, I did. I've added it as a permalink to my browser section for maps type stuff. I definitely would add that to yours as well, because they've got some really, really cool maps. And the way the interface works is pretty awesome. All right, I've got a link that I'm going to put up tonight. It's called Is in Your Identity System. And it talks about all the cross relationships that Google has with a bunch of different services and kind of the evolution of Google services and some of the properties that they've bought, kind of talking about a little bit of a mini matrix of how things are being tied together by Google. I have this up in the show notes tonight for you, probably linked as Google Matrix or something like that. Over on Robin Good's website, he's got an article up on search RSS news feeds with millionrss.com. I went over and checked out millionrss.com, and essentially it's a project that's currently got about 250,000 RSS feeds that are being submitted and ranked. And at the same time, you can search for content within the website. I don't know. The site's a little buggy, and it's not working really, really well. But they've got a place over there where you can submit your blog if you've got a blog. And submit your RSS feed. It's something you may be worth checking out. And we'll see how this project develops. It'd be nice to see if they could build this into something that would have some control on the RSS feeds coming in so that you could get rid of spam sites, and then it would only index sites that are in the actual website. It'd be pretty awesome if they would do that. Over on StartupSquad.com, there's a report of a service called Illumio, I-L-L-U-M-I-O, and it went to version 2. And this is a product that allows you to essentially finds news articles for you based upon things that you have searched about. You know, it builds kind of a profile on you over time. And it's what it's saying here is the new release automatically discovers your interest based on documents stored in the My Documents folder, sent email and contacts if you're using Microsoft Outlook or Thunderbird, and web browser history and favorites. So they are giving a lot of emphasis on privacy, and they are being very revealing on the information that it collects and how it, what it's doing with that, and how it's not transmitting data back to home. So this is an application that does run on your desktop. So pretty cool application. I'm going to be giving it a play here, and I do like how they have essentially said straight up on this is that they are not sending any of your personal information back to the main company. And because it is a application that runs on your desktop, you'll be able to essentially see any outbound traffic anyway through your firewall in case something changes on it. But looks like a very interesting application and worth trying. Along with that, there's another RSS application. It's called Particles, PARTICLS.com. Drop the E. And this is another website that's doing some cool stuff with RSS. And, you know, RSS stuff is here to stay, but they're making it easier for people. This is actually an Australian-based startup that solves problems for people that are trying to find news and information at work. And very, very cool. So we'll see what happens with this website as well. There's a great interview over on p2pnet.net. They did an interview with allofmp3.com. It's pretty comprehensive, and definitely link this up in the show notes for you. This will be one that you'll definitely want to check out. There's some disclaimers and stuff, of course, and this is actually, I think, a website that originates in Canada, so it kind of has the Canadian some Canadian perspective on it. There is some disclaimers at the bottom of the page talking about digital copyright in Canada, who responded to some of the interview stuff. So link will be up in the show notes to this article on p2pnet.net. I found a very interesting article over, and actually alluded to it a little bit earlier in the show, but I want to go into it deeper now that I'm actually on the page. It's over on blogs.zdnet.com. And this is written by Donna Bogatin, and the title of this is Google's Risky Advertising Business. And as I'm reading through this a little bit, I don't know, the post is kind of misleading in that it talks about how Michael Arrington over at TechCrunch, how he continues to be quite displeased with the pay-per-post business model. And while I agree completely with Michael Arrington on the pay-per-post business model and what they're doing over there on how people are now, or actually bloggers are now able to set their price on how much they're willing to sell their soul for writing an article for companies that are willing to advertise their websites and promote through pay-per-post. But she goes into some of the risks that are starting to happen to even Michael and TechCrunch, and I see some of that happening even with the email that's coming in to me, in that there's a risk now, and I have to be very, very careful here. I get so much email coming in that some PR firms are being very, very tricky in that they'll use my first name, they'll put a leading paragraph in there saying, hey, listen to your podcast, we think it's great. Here's some information we'd like to share with you. And I'll read through the rest of the article, and it turns out that it's kind of a PR promotion that's come to me as if someone was actually listening to the show. So there's been a few times that I have replied back and said, are you really a listener, or are you part of a PR firm? And then I'll get a reply back, we're part of a PR firm. Or someone says, oh yeah, I'm a listener, and I'm more inclined then to talk about this. But Michael Arrington even has said that he is having a little bit of a trouble in friends and different firms coming to him with information and trying to filter out, you know, what should be written about and which should not in the actual in essentially in fairness, because of if you're going to write about something and it's being done as a favor for a friend, you kind of almost have sold out a little bit in that case as well, unless it's something that you would have been had already planned on writing about. And I don't know if you guys are completely following me here, and I hope you are. And if not, please go read the article. But I think what we're needing to be very, very careful with is that we have to make sure that as individuals that do blogging and podcasting, that we try to stay impartial as much as we can. And that, you know, and that's my goal here too, is when I get gear in, as inclined as I am many times to write a great article about the product, I always try to dig in and look at the flaws and stuff that I may not like about the product and also highlight those. And one example was the other day I was concerned about the price of a specific unit that I had gotten to test. I thought the price was a little bit high considering what I was reviewing. And, you know, I think if so long as people stay objective, they're going to be okay. But this ties in a lot of stuff here, not only paper posts, but talks about some stuff that's going on with Google and their advertising machine and their paid per action stuff that's going on, where, you know, it's essentially they're encouraging that, you know, people that are going to, in order to get paid, there's going to have to be some action taken on an advertisement. So we're going to have to see what happens here, because if we know, like, for example, if I have an ad on the website that says, try this product out, and you know, and if I don't disclose to you that I'm getting paid $10 or whatever it may be for every time you try that product, well, there could be a little bit of a issue there, right? So I think that's where it's important. While if it is an advertisement on a website, it needs to be clearly marked, or if it's a sponsor, it needs to be clearly marked. But they think the lines are going to meld here a little bit where it may not be as clear. So we'll see what happens on this. And we have to be careful that consumers are not going to be unwittingly misled by the ambiguities of these type of programs, especially depending on how they're tied into websites and what it, you know, if especially if it's tied in within the text of an article and you mouse over something, and you need to know that it's an actual advertisement and not that it's you know, something that the person placed in there on his own. So I hope this makes sense to you. And I guess always in this show, if there's a sponsor or an advertiser, we're always going to disclose it. And if I've been given a product to review, I'm going to disclose that as well. And of course, stuff that I write about for my company and stuff that I consider for Blueberry and Raw Voice, I guess you guys can, you know, you all know that where my affiliation is there. But at the same time, I try to be fair in my reporting on other companies as well, and talk about stuff that they are, you know, I'm going to try to do more of that too, to talk about more about what other companies are doing in the space, and make sure that this show is not just a, I don't want anybody to accuse me of having this show just be a, you know, a press spot for Raw Voice. But so that kind of is what ties into what I was thinking about today. And this, there's an additional article on TechDirt talking about PR spam and why you shouldn't PR spam PR bloggers. I have that linked up. Kind of ties into this last article as well. All right, let's move on from that. Scientists have found 28 new planets beyond our solar system. And the world's leading team of planet hunters has announced the discovery of 28 new planets. And they're among 37 objects outside our solar system found to orbit distant stars. And 7 of the objects are confirmed to be brown dwarfs, which are failed stars, which are much more massive than even the largest planets. And 2 are borderline and could be small brown dwarfs or large planets. So link will be up to this in the show notes. I found this over on Guardian Unlimited. I have more information on that as well. I found a very, very cool do-it-yourself USB adapter and a do-it-yourself antenna equals a poor man's Wi-Fi, and how you can get more range out of a out of your current Wi-Fi receiver. So if you're looking to, you know, if you're trying to connect to some more Wi-Fi devices, this is definitely a way to do it. And lots of cool information here on this website, something I've never seen before. But again, USB Wi-Fi dot, what is it? And let me look at the link on this. Oh, it's .orcon.net.newzealand. So Definitely look at it for the link in the show notes. Kind of a good informational article for you at the end. For those of you that are renting and living in an apartment, I'm going to link to a Boing Boing article that talks you how to get your security deposit back when you move out of an apartment, or if you're renting something, if you're going to the beach this summer, going to be renting a place. This is very, very good, good information. And I'll just kind of pass on my advice if any of you are getting ready to move into your first apartment. Always take your camera with you, and when you move in, photograph everything. And actually, I photograph and video everything in my apartment before I move in, and that way, if something happens and I get accused of something, have gotten accused of something when I move out, I have the original pictures and the final pictures at the end, and this is a good way to cover your six in order to get your security deposit back. Now, if you punched a hole in the wall, not a lot of help there. But you know, if you've done everything and you if you've done everything and returned the apartment in as good a condition or better, which I've always tried to do when you leave, a good way to get that money back. And landlords love to keep security deposits, so. Want to make sure that those of you that have not had that experience of dealing with a landlord before, do what you have to do to protect yourself and your money. All right, 55 minutes here wrapped up on content tonight. Let me go ahead and play this promo for you, and then we're going to get into some email. As always, you can send comments to the show at geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And here comes the promo.
A Christian perspective on pop culture is available when you tune in to the Frequency Podcast.
Come see for yourself.
Get reviews on movies, music, video games, and TV with a biblical perspective. It's the source for today's pop culture Christians. The Frequency Podcast, today's culture from a Christian perspective. Tune in today at thefrequencypodcast.com. Or you can get exclusive blogs, updates on our upcoming shows, and much more at our MySpace page at myspace.com/thefrequencypodcast.
Hey, thanks for that. That's from one of our longtime listeners and podcasters. So check out the Frequency Podcast, and that was from Sam. Sam, good luck on your show, and let me go ahead and link up here. Let's look what I've got in the actual show notes. Timothy sent me an email. He said, Todd, I saw this story on a local Indianapolis news program, and it made me take immediate action to protect my family and home. Your listeners should know about this. Boy, you know what? And I blew this, Timothy. I was going to talk about this at the beginning of the show. And this is important, and I'll probably bring this up at the beginning of the next show as well, just in case people have tuned out already. All right, folks, if you need to you really, really need to go to my website at geeknewscentral.com and look for the article that I put up online on Saturday. It's called Shocking Information on Smoke Detector Deadly Delay, and I implore you, please do this. Please, please, please go look at the article that's linked in this. I'm going to have this linked in the show notes tonight. Your family's safety, their lives could be impacted by what type of smoke detector you have in your home. When you see this article and you read through the testing and the experience that these firefighters had in the actual amount of time it took some types of detectors to go off, I think you're just going to be completely blown away. And they also have a review within this article of a few different types of smoke detectors. And please, please go look at this. This is, I implore you to do so. I actually went on the afternoon that I saw, they had gotten this link, and went out and bought 6 brand new smoke detectors for this house. That's how affected I was on seeing this article, okay? And I'll leave it up to you folks. And I'm not going to recommend a specific brand, but do your homework on this. Go and look at this article, please, 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 please. And tell your friends about it. Tell people that you work with. This is huge. It is really, really huge. Some of you probably are fine and probably have a type of smoke detector in your home that's that needs to be, but I'm sure we are losing people every day due to this, And I'm surprised that there has not been something nationally exposed on this before. All right, got an email. Next email up is from Andrew. Hey, Todd, thanks for your nice comments about my site on your recent show. I hope to hear from at least one of your listeners that attended the Star Wars event. And did anyone go? Did anyone go to that? He says, also in here, also I have a suggestion below or helpful with regards to the podcastworms.com site. So he sends me a few, some info about that, and I need to get that fixed up. Thanks for that, Andrew, and a bunch of additional comments as well. Let's see, what else do we have? He sent me some updates and stuff. So I appreciate that, Andrew. I really, really do. Got an email from, oh my goodness, Christoph, I guess. Hi, Todd. I just got time to view your RSS presentation from the last roundtable. It was great, but could you also explain what are the differences between RSS 1.0, RSS 2.0, XML, and Atom? Some sites offer a choice, and I have no clue which one I should add to my RSS reader. Okay, here's the deal. If the best and most inclusive RSS feed is RSS 2.0. XML is, many sites will say XML, and that's the same. It's just duplicated information for RSS generally. If you actually look at the text in the actual linked file, you'll be able to tell if it's an RSS 1.0 and RSS 2.0. So my personal preference is I always go with RSS 2.0 first and then Atom. Atom, most feed readers can accept Atom as well. It's just a personal preference. Some people like Atom over RSS 2.0. But if you are interested in most podcasts are embedded in RSS 2.0 files. It's the most comprehensive spec, and it's the most recent spec. So just like anything else, the RSS 1.0 was originally, you know, I think it started out with actually, you'll see some sites actually say RSS 0.91, 1.0, RSS 2.0. RSS 2.0 is the current spec that's in its kind of final format. At least, there's been some tags and stuff by people that have modified and added some extra components, but the general stuff is not going to change. So RSS 2.0 initially, and then Atom, if the site doesn't have Atom or doesn't have RSS 2.0, Atom's always a good choice as well. Got an email from Leonoid. He says, hey, I know you're an excellent writer and blogger, keeps a watch while on current trends in information technology, especially on internet projects and podcasting. That is why you might be interested to write or give advice about our service called TalkingNews.net that automatically generates podcasts from RSS feeds. I've not got a chance to look at your website yet, Leonoid. I'll definitely get over there and check it out. If anyone has visited his website, love to hear what you think about it. But I'll definitely get over there and take a look at the website. Thanks for your link on that as well. Got an email from Luke. Okay, I know where you're coming from, my friend, and then I think the rest of the audience will be appreciative as well. He says, hello, Todd. It's kind of like aloha. He said, just listening to show 270, and you just made me laugh. Hey, you guys want to come over to the UK and see the petrol gas prices we have to pay? He said, 0.96 liters, that's about $1.90. For a liter. So if you add it up to a U.S. gallon, it's 7.213 liters per gallon. Actually, that's what it ends up being, is $7.21. I know, Luke. I know that the gas prices in the U.K. are very high. They're very high in Japan as well. We're a bunch of crybabies. We're only paying, I paid $3.29 this weekend for gas. But we've always been cheaper. We really, really have. And so from our perspective, gas prices are out of control. And I know from your perspective, you're like, oh, that's cheap. But also, one thing to think about is that many, many countries have significantly better mass transit than we have here in the United States. Of course, if you're in New York or if you're in a big city, we have buses, we have subways, we have trains. But like here in Honolulu, the mass transit is limited to a bus, and it's slow. And we're all addicted to our cars. We travel very, very long distances in comparison to distances that are traveled in many other countries. And we, you know, it's a daily function of our lives, where many people in other countries, they use mass transit a lot more than we do, which we need to. We need to use mass transit more. But for example, where I grew up, you know, to go get gas, the closest gas station was 13 miles away. You know, so it wasn't like, you know, there was a short distance to travel to go somewhere. So I think that's part of it, too, is that the United States and its cities are so spread apart, and we are a transiting, you know, a transitioning, I guess that isn't the right word, right? We are in transit a lot, and some of us too much. But $7.21 a gallon, I feel from you. I feel for you. I really, really do. That is just, how much of that is tax? How much are they taxing the per liter cost? That's the question. Because our, you know, at least 50% of our gas prices is made up of tax. I got an email from Thomas. He says, are you still wanting listeners to use the BitTorrent feed for Geek News Central? I tried subscribing to it, but it is really slow in updating compared to the direct feed. By updating, I mean the file seems slower than the direct feed and popping into my feed reader compared to the direct feed I use now. He said, also, I finally got RSS radio to work downloading torrented feeds, so I'm trying to switch all my feeds to the torrent version. Do you know a list of podcasts are available via torrenting rather than direct download? Also, I hope you got my Juice invite at GigaOhm. It has a sign-up page for Juice Friends Editions at juice.com. I'll put this link up in the show notes. If your listeners want one or need an invite, I found it, and he's got a link to it here. So if anyone's looking for Juice invites, I'll have this up in the show notes. You know, the bandwidth is really not an issue right now, so BitTorrent is an option. And I have to be honest with you, I haven't even looked in months to see how many people are actually downloading off of BitTorrent. And probably because I haven't been plugging it doesn't mean a lot of people are feeding it. So that may be part of the problem. So don't worry, Thomas. You can, you know, always use a direct download. It's not a big deal. It really, really isn't. I got an email from Robert. Robert sent me a follow. This is another gentleman that he had read my article on the fire detectors and had actually sent it off to his boss and got quite the response from him. Another person that said, oh, my goodness, look what this is. And he had some good feedback on this, too. So, Robert, thanks for your feedback on that. Got an email from JP, and he's got a link to an article on BoingBoingNet that shows a charge. I think we talked about this in a previous show. I think they charge $82 for a screw. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. Well, we're at 1 hour and 7 minutes, record time finishing here. And I guess we'll blast out. I'll let you guys go early. Thanks, everyone. And everyone have a great week. It's going to be a short week back to work. Send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Comments and commentary are always welcome on the show. And send links to cool stuff that you find as well during the week, and we'll cover it in the podcast. Definitely appreciate all the feedback from everyone. Thank everyone for being part of the Ohana. And for those of you that have recently subscribed, thanks for subscribing. Those of you that have been here for a while, thanks for being a continuing part of the Ohana here. And we'll get into some giveaways here in the next couple of weeks. So look forward to that. Tell your friends about the show, my friends. Definitely appreciate it. Help us grow here. And, of course, come over to our communities at techpodcast.com, blueberry.com, and podcasternews.com to check out all the additional podcasts over there. Until next time, aloha.